Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of the Brand Builder Show. And today's episode, we're going to be talking about how Samantha has built an empire of her own, built her own brand with an e-commerce product and more beyond that. So this is going to be a really insightful episode, maybe a little bit different to some of the episodes we've had before. So definitely do stay to the end. There'll be loads of nuggets in here for you. Samantha, welcome to the show today. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Ben. I'm so excited to dive into all the juiciness.
Yeah, definitely. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm in Austin, Texas. Just recently moved here about 5-6 months ago from Los Angeles.
Very cool. It feels like there are so many people moving to Austin, Texas. It sounds really popular. Whenever I've been on e-commerce Twitter, there is like so many e-commerce people moving to Austin. What is it about Austin that's so good?
You know what? I don't even know. We didn't even come here with the intention of, oh, everyone's moving here. We're actually planning on moving to Florida. And that just didn't work out. We couldn't find the place that we wanted to live there. And I just zoomed out on the map of America with all the specs that I wanted in a home. And Austin just happened to be the winner. But we are really fortunate here with the large e-commerce community. We've really been tapping into that here and networking and meeting other people. So it's felt really good in comparison to LA. Where, of course, there's a lot of business owners and all that sort of stuff over there. But over here, it just feels more real and wholesome, and people actually want to get to know you. So it's been a really, really great transition out here.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, give us a bit of a background about how your e-commerce journey, or your entrepreneurial journey, I should say, because it's not strictly e-commerce what you do. And there's lots going on in your world. So fill our listeners in about who you are, what you do, and then we'll jump into some questions.
Yeah. So my entrepreneurship journey started right out of college. I was supposed to go to med school, and I got this intuitional gut feeling, which I didn't know that's what it was at the time, but it just wasn't the right path for me, even though I'd done loads of studying for like 6+ years with just really, really dedicated to that. And then all of a sudden I was left with, this isn't it. So now what? And at the time, I was dating someone in college that was an entrepreneur themselves. And back then, it was not cool to be an entrepreneur like it is today. Like, you were kind of looked at as kind of a loser. Like, I'm 36, so this was over 10 years ago, right? And I just decided to go, and I learned that, you know, I can make money my own way and not have to work for someone. And in college, I'd worked for someone a couple times, and I just hated it. I hated the fact of having to ask someone for time off and them telling me no. And I'm like, what? This isn't the life that I want to live. So just all these different aspects of like learning about entrepreneurship, I just dove in. And at the time, the only thing I really kind of thought about doing, which was working for me while I was in school, is I started modeling and acting. I'm 5'10", and my entire life, everyone would told me, like, why aren't you modeling? You should model. My parents were like, absolutely not. So when I got out on my own, I was like, finally, like, yes, I can finally do the things that I want. So I dove into that. I then dabbled in a little bit of network marketing in the beginning, which is so good looking back, because I was so, you know, I was in my mid-20s, very young. So that was kind of like my first taste of like learning about entrepreneurship, not just like selling the products and stuff, but just like all of the self-development work that comes with that, that you're taught, was really cool. And then from there, I started a video production company because I was, you know, in the modeling acting space. So I was on a lot of sets, and I learned a lot behind the scenes of how they produce these production companies. I was like, well, I can do that. So I started doing basically what UGC content is today, before influencers and UGC was ever a thing, even a word. And I was doing that for companies through my own business. So that was making me, you know, 6 figures a year at the time. And from there, started influencing on social media before it was a thing, then it became a thing, really dove into that, was in the fitness influencer space for a while. Then from there, pivoted to people asking me, well, how did you grow your social media? I became a social media coach. And then from there, people with businesses were asking me, or people that weren't influencers, but were just entrepreneurs were asking me, like, hey, how did you build your business? Like, how do you sell things online? That sort of stuff, which I had done. I had built the websites, the sales funnels, the email funnels, the products, digital products. So I was like, well, I can teach this. And then from there, I created a really great online coaching business. And then it wasn't until COVID hit, the pandemic hit in 2020, where, you know, this trauma hit our planet, and I started seeing a lot of people, including clients, you know, everyone started panicking, right? Like, we'd never gone through something like this before. So it was the job loss, the money loss, the What should I do? I'm panicking. Like, I don't know what to do next. I can't launch my stuff online. And frankly, I just started sharing my morning routine, because throughout this entire process, what I always kept coming back to is, you know, what got my mind right? And I just started sharing, like, in the morning, I focus on, you know, my goals. This is how I journal. These are the different prompts that I use. I meditate. I, you know, get my mindset positive. I kind of like tune out whatever's going on in the world, so then I can show up as my highest self, basically, like being a positive impact versus, you know, stirring the pot with negativity. And I was just literally just sharing this on Instagram stories. And then people started asking me, like, well, is there a download for these prompts? You know, because everyone was expecting, because I'm a coach, I have all these downloads and products and all this stuff for them to get. And I'm like, no, I'm just sharing this out of the like goodness of my heart. And then it got to a point where so many people are asking, I'm like, wait a minute, I have something here, because I thought everybody did this type of work in the morning. And then from there, it was just that intuitional download hit where I was like, Sam, you got to make this. You got to make this. It's not just a download. It's a physical product. And I'd never done anything in e-commerce before, but I just decided one day, I was like, I'm going to do this. I have no idea how to do any of this physical product stuff, but I'm going to figure it out. And I just went into creating a digital file. I found a manufacturer, got my first couple thousand journals of inventory, and I just started selling it. And then along with that, I was watching YouTubes and listening to e-commerce podcasts for the first time ever. And I just started being, I just became obsessed with learning this industry, and it just took off. And here we are, we're going into our fourth Christmas right now, and the company has just grown and scaled like massively. And the impact this journal is making on women's lives specifically right now, we're coming out with a men's journal very, very soon, but it's just been insane that following this gut, this intuition of doing it, has just completely changed not only my life, but so many thousands of other people's as well.
Yeah, definitely. That must be super rewarding. Yeah. I've got so many questions from that intro there. So I'll try and sort of, I'll try and lay them out in a structured kind of order. But I think the first place I usually start with people is, well, how did you come up with the idea? How did you validate it? How did you know it would sell? But I think you've kind of answered all those questions in that intro, because it was a very much a problem you were solving for yourself, and people were already coming to you that they had. So I suppose you must have had a lot of confidence when you launched it. You kind of would have just known it was going to sell a bunch of units, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because when people tell me like, you must have lots of confidence, it's interesting, because over, you know, ever since I started entrepreneurship, I don't know if I had the confidence, because I never knew how to do the thing that I was going into. I always just knew that I was going to figure it out. So it was almost like this confident delusion that if I put my energy and effort into something, I'm not going to fail. And even if I quote unquote fail, it's not even a failure. It's a pivotal point to learn and to grow and whether you change direction or whatever. So I feel like going into it, like I was scared, like starting an e-commerce business, it's not like starting an online business. Like it costs a ton of money up front, like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to, you know, get your samples, start your first even manufacturing, because the MOQs are so high. Like it's not just something you just kind of play around in and like try it out. Like you really have to have this confidence. But how I really tested the product to see if it actually worked is what I did in the beginning, is when I first made that digital file that I was going to send to my manufacturers, I called in about 20-ish women into a private little Facebook group. And I just asked my community, I was like, hey, does anyone want to do a month trial? Basically, not a coaching session, but basically like, all I need you to do is use this journal prompts, like the book, what I had, use it for a month and just do a Zoom with me every single Sunday to check in. And I just want to see how it's going for you. Yeah. And over that month, like not only did every woman always show up, the ones that didn't literally would message me and say, hey, I've been using your journaling practice. It was like one specifically that was like, I'm so sorry I keep missing these calls, but I've been using your journaling practice because I've been actually using it to call in a partner. And I met someone that same week we started, and I've been like using the weekends to hang out with him. And then there was so many other things, like girls got promotions, they called in different money, they felt better in their mind and in their body, and they felt healthier. And it was just like bam, 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 like all of these different things were happening. And I'm like, holy crap, like, yes, this works. And that's what brought me my ultimate confidence that I have to do this. And it was also a thing where it's like, I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but with what I was feeling, I'm like, I have to at least try. Like, I'm doing myself and the world a disservice if I don't try. So that's really what pushed me into it and gave me that ultimate confidence.
Yeah, it's really good. I think that's what separates people that really want to develop a good product from people that just want to make money. I think when you are dedicated to creating a good product, you know there'll be buyers for it because you are bringing something great into the world. And I love that. And I love the fact that you took that gamble because, and I would like to pick up on that because it's very easy for people that are selling digital products, doing coaching, etc., to continue to do that because there's no inventory, there's no cost of goods. You've gone into something that then there is a lot of physical cost, and an e-commerce business, as everyone listening to this knows, is cash flow intensive. What was it about something physical that made you go into this? Why didn't you just stick with digital? Is there something about physical products that just really captured you?
Yeah, I mean, especially for me as a online, you know, my whole business is online. Like I could spend literally all day on my cell phone or all day on my computer, tapping in, working, connecting with people, social media, all that sort of stuff. But the beauty of having a physical product, and a lot of people told me in the beginning, like, you should do it. You just start as a physical, start as a digital product. Just test it as a digital product. And immediately my gut reaction was like, no, because we are on our devices 24/7. And imagine if this was a digital thing, and you could print it if you wanted to, but say you use it on your phone or your iPad or on your computer to fill it out. What's going to happen the second you pick up your phone or whatever device it is, you're going to see notifications from something else. You're going to get distracted. You're going to jump to the next thing and you're not going to come back to it. So I think really having that time, because with this journal practice, like your intention is like you're supposed to use it when you first wake up before you tap into anything else. It is just so magical. And the journal is just so beautiful and luxurious looking and feeling. And it's like, even just by looking at it and picking it up, like, you just feel the magnetism of it. So just to be able to open that up, turn to the page and writing everything down, like psychologically, when you write things down, not type it in your phone, not use it, putting it on your iPad or iPhone, but when you write things down, there's this psychological connection with your brain that's going to help you bring that goal or that wish or whatever that is that you want, like to reality, so much more. I think it's like 40% more chance of doing that than by just thinking about it or by like typing it up. Like there's this really powerful connection between seeing your pen and your hand write it. So that is why I was like, you know, like this is something so special. It wouldn't, I'd do a disservice if I just, you know, we do have it now finally available in a digital format because we've been asked so many times, like, yes, there's those people that really like, I really like, just don't want paper. I really just want to be able to use it on my phone. So we finally broke down to allow it to be a digital download. But truly, I 100% believe like the magic happens like in the physical product itself.
Yeah, it's crazy how our whole society now has just eliminated so much of the writing, pen and paper, we used to do. I had to write something out for my son's school, like in his homework thing the other day. And he like slated my handwriting. He said my handwriting was terrible, worse than his, my 11-year-old son. And I'm like, that's because I just never write anymore. You know, I just, there will be weeks on end that go by. I don't even pick up a pen. And so I can imagine it's quite a powerful thing in, you know, the way we live today. Product development then, you've got this idea, you've started to go through this almost sort of incubator period with these people that you're working through the kinks of this product. At what point did you get to where you had a final product? Was it a long process of iteration? I mean, by the way, you know, a journal kind of product is not an easy product to create because there's, you know, lots of design, lots of different pages. I'd love to talk about the manufacturing side in a minute as well, but in terms of just getting the products to where you are happy with it, was it a long process? How long did it take?
No, it wasn't actually. Luckily, because I've been an online digital creator for so long, I know how to use so many different tools like Photoshop or, you know, Adobe or Canva. And luckily, I knew what I wanted it to look like. So I designed the entire thing. And one thing that I learned throughout entrepreneurship is, you know, and I used to be such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
But what I learned is if you're waiting for perfection, like you're never going to launch.
Yeah.
So what I did is I got it to the point where I was so excited about it and I just sent it off. Like this was probably, I mean, this idea probably happened in July. And I think by October, I placed the order for the first 2,500 journals. And then this was in 2020. But we didn't even get the journals until I think end of January, early February, because at that time our container was stuck out in the ocean for 3 months. So we were planning on launching for Christmas that year. We even started doing pre-sale basically maybe it was September that we did it, but basically we started doing pre-sale in October for a holiday delivery. And here we are now, our container's stuck out there with everybody else's stuff. And it didn't even come in until February. So I just dove in and launched. And what's funny is looking back now is looking at that first edition journal, because every single year I update it, I change it, I get feedback from my community. What do you want in it? What do you not want in it? Like I am full on, even when it comes down to journal colors, I am constantly asking my community what they love or what they want to see next, which is so helpful. Like I highly recommend if you're ever getting into e-commerce, like utilize a community because they're going to help you and they're the ones that are going to get invested and be so excited about your product when it launches. But it's funny, like looking at the journal today, now almost 4 years later, looking back at the first edition, I like laugh. I'm like, so like not embarrassed, but I'm like, oh my God, I seriously thought this was good. Like, what was I thinking? Yeah. And I think that's just like the perfect example. Like if you're not quote unquote embarrassed by your first launch or first product or first edition, then you waited too long. Yeah. So I'm really happy like with the whole process of going through it and just making things better and being really tapped in with my community and listening. Like that's been the ultimate evolution success of this journal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you beat me to it. I was going to share that quote as well when you were saying about that. It's like a hallmark of e-commerce, isn't it? You've got to get launched. You've got to iterate as you move. If you don't, you'll never get launched. So congrats for doing that.
Thank you.
You talked there about a delay and not getting holiday sales out until at least February. How did you deal with that? Did you get complaints? It must have been a stressful time.
Oh my gosh, it was awful. Not only is this my first time launching an e-commerce, which is already stressful enough, but then to go through this 3 month process of just waiting. And yes, we had angry customers because just think about it. We are so brand new. Our website is so new. Not even one review yet. Like not even anything on Instagram, right? Mm. Like nothing. So we, first of all, just look like a fake company in general because there's just nothing out there about us. So yes, we had the angry customers, but the one thing that I did is I was just super transparent. Like I would communicate with my customers, go live on Instagram. I would email our customers a whole, like keep them updated with what's going on. And luckily, because like this was affecting the world, like everyone was affected by whether you're, no matter what you were ordering at that time, like there was a delay, right? Like anything had a delay. So everyone was really like, oh, I get it. Because yeah, I tried ordering that couch last week and it's saying I have a 6 week delay now. Like it was a time where people were patient. And we just honored, like, I don't even remember if we had any refunds, maybe a few, but we didn't have a lot because I was so transparent with my customers and audience and just kept on getting them excited about it. Like, look, like, you know, it's coming and just be patient, please. Like we promise it's going to be so worth the wait, that kind of stuff. So that's what really got me through. But after that experience, we are not ever doing pre-sale like that again, like to the point where we don't have the products like at least on the way, because that was so stressful. Like I totally have PTSD from that, where I'm like, I just never want to make a customer feel like that or have that first experience with our company. Yeah. So never again are we ever doing pre-sale for that reason.
Scarred for life.
Yeah.
I mean, 2021 was, it was wild for logistics. I mean, I remember a story coming out of a guy that had invented this like magnetic fort, kind of, you could use building blocks for kids to build these forts, and it was all magnetic and everything, but they were massive, and shipping prices obviously 10x'd in that period. It was mental. And he had to do this whole thing where he'd taken like seven figures in pre-sales and then couldn't deliver on it. To deliver on it would have cost him millions. And I don't know what the end of the story was, but there was this massive risk of basically going bankrupt. And so, yeah, it was a wild time. So well done for getting through it relatively unscathed.
Yes, we got through it.
In terms of manufacturing, has that been an easy process? Was it easy to find a manufacturer? Have you faced any challenges with that at all?
Yeah, it's been pretty simple to find a manufacturer. We now have two that we go back and forth on. The only thing that we kind of ran into is depending on the size of the factories that we use. There was a time, I think it was last year, even the year before that, where we wanted to place such a large order. I'm talking like, gosh, like 14 to 20,000 journals. And the time it would take for one factory to do that was just way too long. Like we need a less than a 3 week max manufacturing time to like keep on schedule. So when we hit that point of them not being able to handle that amount, we then found a second one. And just like, you just never know what's going to happen. So now we use two, we kind of rotate between the two, or use our main one, but then we'll drop off like a smaller order to our other one just to like keep them on top of like what we're doing. So that way, in case anything happens, like you never know what's going to happen. You always want to have some sort of backup plan for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really smart to have those backup plans. Yeah. Like you say, you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I had one of my suppliers that was my only supplier for a product go AWOL on me. She was the only contact I had at the company. Yeah. And later I found out this, I knew she was pregnant, but then I didn't realize that there was complications when she had the baby. Oh. I couldn't get hold of her for 3 months, couldn't reorder, tried phoning the factory in China and got met with people that clearly only spoke Mandarin and laughed and put the phone down and just, you know, disaster. And I learned that lesson, that the painful way. So it's definitely wise. Do those manufacturers know that there's another like rival manufacturer in there?
I didn't tell them because I know to keep that relationship good, so I don't blatantly say it. They actually found out about each other when we had one of them do a certain color journal that the other one never did. And they follow me on Instagram. They follow the company. They check it and they see how things are doing. So I once got that message like, hey, Sam, like, I see you have this gold leather journal. Like,
where'd you get that?
Are you still like, it's almost like I think that they were afraid that we weren't going to use them anymore. And I'm like, oh, no, like we have to like just because they knew also that they couldn't create the amount that we needed. So I'm like, no, we have also them creating journals for us, but don't worry. Like I literally probably placed an order with them within the next week or so, but I make sure to like keep them both happy, but I also know like how delicate those relationships are. Like we do, or I do a really good job with like communicating them like almost daily. Like even if we're not placing orders, like they're checking in, we're checking in. We're at a point where they're sending, you know, family photos and pictures of vacation and we FaceTimed with them and stuff like that. So building that relationship is super, super important. Which I learned very, very early on. Like I really look forward to like ours are in China and I really can't wait to go visit them in person and visit the factories in person. Like it's going to be really, really exciting to finally meet and see it in person.
Definitely. Yeah, that's amazing. Very cool. I'd love to learn more about your marketing. Obviously, there's a very organic nature to it, but I'd love to sort of learn how, because that was a big order you talked about, placing that many journals. It can't just be happening from like your own social media, or is it? Have I got a limiting belief there in terms of the scale of social media?
Yeah. Social media is tough. Like Mark, my fiance, who does all of our paid marketing, we're just having a conversation about it. And it's just wild. We do use paid marketing on Meta, Facebook, Instagram. Mm-hmm. We recently tried TikTok. It's just been an ultimate fail. Like we've been using the new TikTok shop. It's just not working for us no matter what we kind of try. We even have support from TikTok. With their managers helping us, and it just hasn't been good. So it's very interesting to see how that will play out over the next couple months.
Yeah.
But we really like, yeah, like it's crazy. It's like you have to pay to play. And of course we have a great community that is always sharing our journals. We are right now this week launching our affiliate program finally, which is very exciting. So we're hopefully like see some traction from that, which we're really excited about. But yeah, other than that, it's like, I'm really on it with, you know, creating the content for TikTok, for Instagram Reels, and really just putting crazy content out there. Not even crazy, but just a lot of good content out there. But we haven't yet figured out like what the thing is, because I swear it changes weekly. There'll be one week where we're just killing it on social media through paid advertising. And then the next week is complete trash. And we're just like, what the hell? Like, it's so unpredictable and it's so frustrating, especially when you're paying so much. Like, we always have a really pretty good ROAS, but it's just wild how much it just goes up and down and up and down. Like, it is such an emotional relationship. That's what we can do.
It's a volatile, you know, especially the last two or three years, it's been very volatile. So it's, it's tough at times. Mm-hmm. You've got a pretty significant social media audience following. Mm-hmm. How much has that played a part, and how much has that maybe changed since you launched the product? Because again, social media, organic social media has changed a lot, hasn't it, over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I don't really know. It's hard to tell. Like, we have, I don't even know what we have. Do we have like 20,000 followers on Instagram on our account? I think something like that. But it's really interesting because when you look at the analytics, like, it's, gosh, not even close to that many people seeing the stuff. So I feel it's like really interesting to see like how that has an impact. I kind of haven't seen much of a difference. I think where my community really thrives is what I did is probably almost 2 years ago, I created a community using Mighty Networks. So off of Facebook, we were in Facebook groups in the beginning. And then when I saw and learned that even as a Facebook group, I'm competing with the algorithm, I'm like, no, thank you. We are out of here. So my advice to anyone that has a Facebook group, like, get out of there, because you're just like, no one's seeing your stuff. And also, again, with the distraction, right? Someone goes into Facebook, into your Facebook group, maybe they're intrigued by your posts, or you're running a live or a masterclass or a challenge or something, but they're being distracted by ads, by the little notifications here and there, by someone's story update. So what I did is I've built out this incredible community on Mighty Networks. Like, I think right now they have probably like 6,000 members, which is just our community. Like, no ads, no nothing. It's where they come to post. Like, more people are posting there every single day on a daily basis than they ever do replying to our Instagram posts or anything like that. Like, that's where all the magic is happening. That's where I put my attention as well. Like, that's where I run masterclasses, and we can hold a library of videos and that sort of stuff. So really just nurturing, and all the girls, like, that's the one feedback that we get all the time. It's like, I love that there's no distractions here. I love that there's no ads here. And that's where we can really pour into them. And I know that's also what creates those returning customers as well, because they're like in it. They're part of a family and they want to stay a part of it too.
Yeah, definitely. So your goal would be to funnel them from social media onto a platform that you own a bit more, like that community.
Yes, exactly.
In in terms of the, you mentioned influencer, affiliate marketing. What are you doing? How are you setting that up? What's the strategy there?
Yeah, so the strategy here is like, we have so many women that post their journal, right? And it's like, a lot of them just tag us, which is amazing. We reshare that. But it's like, okay, well, what if these girls could share, you know, that Instagram story and then post a link of where to buy or share it? So we're really hoping that will make a nice change, and to reward them with cash, not store credit, but actual cash or their choice of gift card, whether it's Amazon, Starbucks, whatever, I think will be really powerful as well. So I think we're just going to test it, and we're going to put a lot of effort into helping them, because a lot of these girls, like, they're not influencers. Like, they're just like regular people that maybe know how to even post an Instagram story, right? And I see that, because even when we run challenges, like, one of the challenges is to, you know, post an Instagram story of X, Y, and Z. And they'd be like, well, how do I do that? How do I post a story? How do I create a reel? You know? So I have to like take it back to like these real, like, when I first got on Instagram, right? Like, how did I feel? What was I afraid to do? How did I not know to do things? So I'm really hoping the affiliate strategy will work, especially so because the ads, like we're already running paid marketing over here. So it's like, can we get affiliate marketing to a point where it outbeats, you know, our paid ads? Like, I'd so rather give money to someone in my community than to Meta. Yeah. They're taking a ton of money from everybody, right? Everyone has to pay to play. So I would so rather have be able to pay someone in my community than them as well. Yeah. So we're going to see. We're going to see how that plays out the next few months.
Yeah, nice. Are you going to just invite everyone that buys to be an affiliate or a certain group of people?
Yeah, we're setting that up right now. I remember back when we first launched Manuscripting, we just had it automated that basically once you placed an order, you got an email to enroll as an affiliate. And I'm not sure if it's because we were so new or just like I wasn't doing the right things to help nurture that. And even though I had like an affiliate manager at a time, she couldn't even, and she was like super experienced with doing other companies' programs, but like she just couldn't get it to a point that it worked. So I think this time what we're going to start with is just announce it, put out some emails. Hey, if you want to sign up, come. But we will see how that goes first and then maybe start opening it up to like as soon as you purchase, maybe 5 days later, by the time you get your product, you get that invitation to join. But we will make it available like if you come across the link or it's on our website even right now. But it's like if you want to join, of course, come and join. But we would rather have quality affiliates that are actually doing it than a bunch of them just like taking up space at like quote unquote space, right? and not doing anything, because that's also discouraging for us too. So it's like, please just sign up if you actually want to promote this. If you're already promoting it, add the link to your stories or your Facebook post or what have you and make some money doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good. Well, yeah, I'd love to see, follow along and see how that goes.
Yeah.
That's a marketing channel that I think a lot of e-commerce brands leave untapped. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes. Last sort of line of questioning from me, I'd love to just know more about your future plans with it, because it sounds like and looks like a lot of the brand is built around you, which obviously is great. But what are your plans for the future? Is it just to keep moving in that direction? Do you feel it's something that you want to try and be less the face of, or you really want to own that and continue with that? How do you feel about that in the future?
Yeah, you know what's funny is when I launched this company, I was so excited because over the last 10 years, like I have been the face of my brand and I've always had to show up on social media. And when I launched this, I was like, I'm so excited. I finally have a physical product. I don't have to be the face of the brand. Nope, definitely did not go that way. I am the face of the brand. I am the one holding, you know, the masterclasses. And of course, we use, you know, different creators to create content for us for Instagram and stuff. But ultimately, like, it is me. But what my plans are is, first off, like, I do want to bring in other experts to, you know, host the masterclasses or whatever that kind of looks like in the future. I've seen a few companies do this where, you know, there was one person that was the face of the brand, and then ultimately, as the company grew and you get older, it's like, okay, we need to bring in other people. So I definitely envision having other men and women come in and kind of help facilitate with the teachings and that kind of stuff. So I can kind of not necessarily step out, because I love this stuff. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And I think that's why I've continuously done it, because unlike my previous businesses where I got burnt out very quickly, this one, I can honestly say that I am so excited and lit up and passionate about it every single day. Even though it hits the fan sometimes, like every single day, I'm excited about this business. And that's for going into your fourth year, like that's like, wow, you know, like truly, like there's a lot of passion here. So that's one part of it. And next part of it is launching a men's journal, which we've been asked about since literally probably within the first 6 months of launching this journal, because we have so many women, of course, like it's all women. But you know, they'd always ask us like, oh, like, can I buy this for my husband? Or can I, you know, get this for my boyfriend? Or, oh, my son would really love something like this. He really needs it. And of course, our journals, anyone can use them, but they're just, they're very colorful. They're very, very, very pretty. Like, if you like that style, great. You can use it as a man. Like, I've had plenty of girls buy the black one specifically for a man in their life. But really, creating that product side for men to come in, because I think that's super important and special too, especially for people in relationships. Like, if you're doing all this growth and transformation and self-development, like, if your partner's not doing anything like that, like, that can get very hard and sticky. So my fiance actually, like, he journals, he does all the self-development work. So actually he's going to be the one behind designing it for men, which is super exciting. And we have that coming as well. But other than that, with that product expansion, just nurturing and growing this community, like, that is just my goal. Like, it's cool because, you know, you look at the revenue numbers and the numbers, yes, they excite me, but they excite me because I know that those numbers consist of thousands and thousands and thousands of journals being out in the world, and they're literally changing people's lives. And that just, it's just such a great feeling to have a product and a business that's benefiting the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really great, really fulfilling for sure. Yeah. You mentioned a couple of times working with your fiance. Do you recommend that?
Yes, I actually just recorded a podcast episode on my podcast, Money Mindset and Manicures, because so many people ask us about this. Now, he's been an entrepreneur. He has his own companies. He's in e-commerce as well. And it wasn't like I asked him to work in the company. At first, it just started off as just advising. And then as we started, you know, for his companies, he's worked with a lot of different agencies, especially in marketing or paid advertising. And he learned a lot. And at that point, when I was getting to a point where, okay, like, we're running paid marketing now, he was just like, none of these companies are good. They're all crap. They're all just taking your money. They're not putting in the effort that you would yourself. And I wasn't about to sit down and learn. I was doing everything else in the business, from, you know, manufacturing to packing, shipping, customer service, content creation. Like, I had a full-time job for the first 2.5, 3 years. And that's when Mark came in and he just took over paid advertising because he's really damn good at it. And anytime, you know, he feels like, oh, I'm not doing so good, he'll get on a call with an agency and he'll share numbers. And they're like, you're killing it. Like, these are the types of numbers we're getting. So he plays it off like, I think this should be better, when it's like, no, he's like really killing it. So he does a lot of that. We do a lot of strategic planning together. Like, every single day we're talking about the business. But we also have built this relationship where we don't let that run our lives because we love doing it so much. And I've been in previous relationships, like when I was in my 20s, when I had like these kind of like business partnerships, and they were terrible because I wasn't in love with the person and I stayed with them longer than I should have because of the business. Yeah. So going into this relationship and this business popping up in the beginning of our relationship, really, it's like I laid the rules like, hey, if our relationship starts going sideways, if we feel resentful of each other, if we feel like we're losing the love in this relationship, like, we're going to have you step out and exit, and we're going to hire someone to take your place, because I'd rather have you as my partner, as my fiance, husband, than you as my business partner. Like, I don't need a business partner. I need, you know, I want a fiance. So we just really communicate all the time on how we're feeling, what's going on, all of that. So we never let it get to the point where we're literally business partners only.
Yeah, definitely. Healthy boundaries, it's good. Mm-hmm. And clear expectations, definitely key.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, is there anything that I haven't asked that you think would be useful just to share before we finish?
I think with anything, when it goes into whether you're launching an e-commerce business, online business, what have you, like, follow your gut and intuition. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of us tend to ignore it because we think it's like this silly little feeling. No, it's a real feeling. Looking back, every pivot that I made, even though it was scary, like, and hard, like shutting down my online business, which was making multiple six figures a year, to start at zero for a very long time. Like, we are, and today we're still self-funded. Like, I'm pouring almost every dollar back into the business. Like, I barely just started paying myself a little bit this year, like a little bit. And it's just diving in to going for it. Like, don't hold back. Like, these thoughts, these feelings, these visions, what have you, have come to you for a reason. A lot of times they don't make freaking sense. They don't make logical sense, but they're not meant to. And just, you have to follow your heart, your intuition. You have to be aligned with what you're doing. If you're doing something just for the money, you will burn out, and it's not going to last very long, no matter what. So find that one thing that you're absolutely obsessed with, even if it doesn't make sense, just try it. Because I promise you, if I ignored this journal idea, I wouldn't be where I am today. Like, and I don't even know what I'd be doing, but I don't think I'd be happy doing it. So that's just the one thing I want to leave everyone with is follow that.
Yeah, no, really, really useful advice. And this whole interview has been super insightful, Samantha. You are very switched on and you're seeing the success because of that, and it's been really helpful for our audience. I am very sure of that. Where can people find out more about you, about the product, and grab hold of one if they wanted to?
Yeah, so you can contact me on Instagram. It's just my full name, Samantha Kazuch. The Money Mindset Manicures podcast is a really good one. I dive into everything from business, entrepreneurship, life, money, self-development, all sorts of topics there. And then also for the journal, it is manuscripting.com. So it's Manny, like manifestation, plus scripting.com, manuscripting.com.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, we'll also get the links for those in the show notes and the description so people can click through to those nice and easily. Thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're busy, but I do appreciate it. And I know our audience will appreciate it too. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Amazing. Well, I'm sure you guys got loads out of that. Lots of good advice there. Do take heed of it and implement it in your business to see your business grow too. Check out all the links in the description. And if you've liked the episode, do us a favor and hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, all that good stuff. And we'll see you in the next episode, same time next week. Take care.